With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Trying to get by Benning. Darnell Nurse left it in the corner, gets up center.
Able to shake away from Solani. It's given away to Solani around in front. Score! Teemu Selanne with the steal.
Three in the face, one. Score! Off the floor! On the board! Paul Kariya!
All right. We're back Saturday night with another episode of the podcast, breaking down the first three games of the week. I know we have the game against Montreal tomorrow, so that's why we're live on Saturday. We'll preview that game a bit. But you know what? This was a week where the Ducks lost all three games, but it didn't feel like a week where the Ducks lost all three, because they were exciting games. They were close games. And I think the broadcast put up a statistic about the Ducks in one-goal games this season. They're like six of their nine games or something were one goal games, and they lost, I think, all of them. Or why they're like a 1-3-1 record in those games.
Uh-oh. Now they can. Did I unmute myself?
No, I think we're good now.
No, according to them, they still can't hear Jay. We're off to a rioting start. This rocks.
Oh, this is good.
I think I fixed it. Oh, okay. I think I fixed it. Okay. Great start. All right.
So, Ballerisms. Let's do that.
I love it. You know, it's to be expected, because we didn't have any issues starting the show for once. Jason comes into the show. There's no headphone issues. There's no mic issues. There's no camera issues for anybody. Everything goes smoothly, and we get into the show, and nobody can hear. Nobody can hear.
What?
Yeah, no, that's about par for the course for us, eh?
Yeah, but you know what? We're fixed.
Well, at least I got my beer.
We got it.
At least you got that.
All right. Well, you know what? It's, I don't even know where to go from here. That just threw.
So we played Winnipeg. That was a thing we did.
All right. So So I mean, I don't know how much we want to go over the games and stuff, but like, it feels like the big points to hit, right, have to be Troy Terry is apparently quite good. Sonny Milano looks like a hockey player, and Trevor Zegras is fun.
He's back. He's back. Or I guess he never really went anywhere, but the on-paper production is here, because he leads the Ducks in scoring with 4 points in these last three games.
Terry, right? Yeah, we're talking about
No, Zegras. He's got 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists in 3 games.
Oh, just the last three games.
Yeah, in the last 3 games, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Terry, you're talking like Terry overall.
Yeah, overall, but he's got 9 points in 8 games, which is pretty ridiculous compared to the way he started the season. Or is it 7 games the Ducks have played, or 8? Off to a great start. I think
it might be eight games. 7 points in 8 games.
I'll refocus that. One of the things that I've been beyond pleased about, and actually was actually Troy Terry becoming the Troy Terry we would all kind of hope that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, we were all kind of like, damn it. All right, well, damn it. That's a bust. He's really good at shootouts. We saw that. That was great, you know, but did it ever translate? No, it didn't. And, you know, it's been absolutely a joy to watch him actually pretty much be our best player. I mean, I can't think of anybody who has exceeded expectations more on this team than Troy Terry. And, you know, I'll be, you know, up front, he was kind of, I could be one of his biggest haters, but it was just like, I just never saw it. I didn't think it would ever happen. Like, I thought that was a bust, and it's been amazing to actually watch what he does. He he's that level now. He's finally made that next step where I can't wait to see him on the team moving forward as our future.
He looks like a completely different player this year. Just he's, I mean, he's always been a good two-way player, and he's had these flashes of, you know, offensive creativity, but he's just more engaged this year, more confident. And obviously, like, with him, with the, you know, the points picking up after the first game, you just build confidence from there, and it's snowballing. But like, if you had to pick a most improved, and like, even let's just take out the points and the fact that he leads the team in scoring, just like watching him play, yep, clearly the most improved player this year, I think, out of anybody.
The eye test.
Yeah.
The eye test is off the charts, and then he's actually producing too. So that's just like double good.
Yeah. And hey, we get to sit here and praise Troy Terry because Pat's not here to rain on our parade.
I know. You know what? The thing is, if he was here, he'd absolutely praise him too. He's got no
room. He did put in our chat yesterday that for the first time in like 2 years, maybe Troy Terry's actually good.
Do I have to like Troy Terry? Because I'm kind of liking Troy Terry right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's everything we're saying, right? Like, he looks like a real player. I mean, I think the thing for me is he just turned 24 this September. So, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, this is just his natural trajectory, right? Like, I think it highlights the talent gap between the lottery and the rest of the draft that, like, players like Drysdale and Zegras and McTavish, you know, they kind of jump in and you see right away what it is about them that's promising. Whereas with Troy Terry, what you saw was a smart player who could make plays here and there. And he had a knack, you know, for kind of having those flashes, like you guys said. And, you know, you look at his game and you're like, all right, well, it seems like he can be a good two-way player. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, he's just become... I mean, at this point, it feels like he's kind of the guy that we heard about coming out of University of Denver, which is that really just responsible, productive two-way player who is able to be a leader on the team. Like, I'm pretty sure his last year at Denver, he was a captain and, you know, he was a center and like all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, you know, being a center at any level under the NHL isn't necessarily a guarantee that you're going to be a center at the NHL, as we've seen 1,000 times. But what it does say is that you have been trusted against your peers at various levels to be responsible, to be defensive, to be the center, to the center of the line, the center of the tension, like to drive play in that way. You know, and to see him doing it as a winger, you know, I mean, look, to everything Jay's been saying for like a year now has been about how Anaheim needs to start developing wingers that can contribute and put up points and stuff like that. And like, yeah, I think Troy Terry's really coming along right there. So
yeah, he's finally living up to the unfair hype that was placed on him after the World Juniors and his kind of final season at Denver, where I think they won the NCAA championship. So there was a lot of expectations for him coming out of that final year and out of that World Championship performance. And then he goes off to the Olympics, and that adds to the hype there. And now he's finally kind of living up to that. And, like, that was unfair hype to begin with because of where he was drafted. And, you know, the expectations normally for a player at that position aren't as high as they were for Terry. But, you know, credit to him. He's put in the work every year. He's, you know, seemed to kind of slowly improve year on year, but this is kind of the breakout we've been waiting for. And every season we kind of end with, okay, next year we've got to see some of these kids take a step forward or make that progression. And didn't see a ton of it last year, but now obviously with the full season of Zegras and, you know, a few other guys kind of making their debuts in McTavish and Grew, you've got a new young blood coming in, and it's time for these guys who I guess are now the older core, in a sense, to step up. And and with Comtois not really been able to get going, he's pointless in 8 games, you need a guy to step up, and it's been Troy Terry.
Yeah, it took a hot minute for Troy Terry to kind of get where he needed to be. And like you said, he's kind of that second wave. It's kind of like you have your old, I won't say old, but you have your established players, whether they're your Raquels or your Getzloff or whatever end of the spectrum, your Henriques. They're kind of like, they're taking about 50% of it, and then you want that sophomore group to kind of make that next step, and that's your Troy Terrys, your Max mm-hmm. Jones, and then you got the kids, your freshmen that are coming in, your Drysdale, your BOGs, your I would even say Lundstrom is kind of in there, and mm-hmm. then Zegras. I mean, that's kind of the next wave, but I think Troy Terry out of all of those, I would say Troy Terry out of all of those has made that step. I mean, it took a little while to get there, but you're just looking at a completely different player. He's kind of almost relaxed into what the freshmen are doing, and that is just like, let's go, let's be tenacious, mm-hmm. let's get in there, and let's have that confidence, that swagger. And I don't think he had that before. I don't think there was that second wave. It was always like, dude, you got to start making that next wave. You are our hope. And all of a sudden, we have that next wave. So it's like, okay, I can get into this, and I can be that, you know, that transition between the old guard and the new guard and be productive. So yeah. It's been nice to see.
I mean, look, like, I'm looking at his page right now, right? 17, 18, he was 20 years old. His first time, he played 2 games. 18, 19, he played 32 games. He put up 13 points. 1920, 47 games, 15 points. 2021, 48 games, 20 points. This year, 8 games, 9 points. Like, he's never even played 50 games in a season. So, like, you know, I just think that it highlights in a lot of ways how much... I think it highlights where kind of the Ducks fan base was, right? And, like, where so many of us just, like, were looking for anything to grab onto and to see... You know, Troy Terry was like, what, a 6th-round pick, a 5th-round pick, something like that? Like, he, 5th-round, yeah. You know, he was a player who he needed time to develop. Like, he just didn't turn, he just didn't hit, you know, the NHL at full speed. But, like, he fell to the 5th round, like, he wasn't expected to. And I think sometimes we forget that there is just different learning curves for different players. And, like, you know, like, I've been joking about it on Twitter, but, like, it's for real. Like, he looks like a Selke candidate at this quality right now. Like, if he can, you know, continue along this trajectory and being a guy who's making aggressive plays in the offensive zone as far as takeaways, but cutting to the net and making strong plays. And, you know, I mean, look, if you go by Evolving Hockey's expected even strength defense, which is a goals above replacement metric, he's 4th on the team in expected even strength defense. So, you know, and number one is Getzlaf. Now, the middle two is very fun because number two is Nicolas Deslauriers. and I keep hearing he's very bad at defense. He's 2nd on the team and he's playing defense by expected goals against or expected goals above replacement.
That's pretty surprising with the line that he's been on.
Yeah, he's that good, folks. That's why he's being moved up the lineup, is he's a stud. But
that's why he was protected.
Exactly.
You found the reason.
But look, I mean, I just think, you know, what we're seeing now, like Jay said, is you're starting to see these 2nd and 3rd tier guys or 2nd and 3rd wave guys, like, really, you know, come in and play well and take a lot of the pressure off. And we've seen Silverberg be kind of rejuvenated with that hip surgery. We've seen, you know, Kevin Shattenkirk look much better after having surgery this offseason, and it just feels like guys are really starting to slot into the place in the lineup that they need to be there, and it's allowing everybody to play well. You know, I mean, look, they're still getting ragdolled at 5-on-5 most nights, but, like, they're in these games in a way that they just weren't last year.
Yeah, you know, there's still the issue with being able to close these games out, and that will come with time, but like you said, there is progression there where, you know, in that game against Vegas, last year probably would have lost that 4-1, 5-1, and that would have been it. And there was an effort to come back and say, okay, listen, that first period was ridiculous. Got outshot, 22-8 at the end of that. We got to come back out and make an effort here. And I think at the end of the game, going into overtime at least, the shots were like 38-34. Like, the Ducks put a real concerted effort to bring that up to a closer level and get back in the game and obviously tie it to get that extra point. And they were full value for that extra point at the end of the night. It wasn't like they hung on in the first period and they had to, but, you know, there's a credit there for them to get that. And the one thing I want to say for Troy Terry before we move on from him too is, you know, the analytics gurus are loving this right now, and for good reason, because over the last 3 years where the production hasn't been there on paper for Troy Terry, the underlying numbers for him have been good. And now everything kind of lines up. You know, now he's over a point per game in his first 8 games. You look at the RAPM chart from Evolving Hockey. He's positively impacting play at 5-on-5, you know, offensively and defensively. It's a beautiful chart to look at the way he's been performing so far. And the eye test, you had mentioned, Jay, you just watch him play out there, and he's clearly been the Ducks' best player. So all three kind of sides of the coin are lining up here, where you're saying, okay, the analytics are good, the eye test is good, and you know the on-paper numbers are good. So there's no question now. Like, it, you know, obviously we'll have to see over a longer period of time if he can keep this up, but everything points to he can, because there's really no hole in this. Because there'll be some players who, you know, they'll put up the points, but the underlying numbers say, okay, this is not sustainable. This is going to fall off at some point, or a super high shooting percentage, or whatever it may be. But for Troy Terry, there just doesn't seem to be that hole we can pick in this right now that says, okay, eventually this is going to tail off, which is great. It means he's kind of figured it out, and hopefully this can be consistent for him moving forward. And the Ducks are going to need this with guys like Comtois not really figuring out to start the year, and you know, now injuries to Rickard Rakell. They need a player like this, especially on the wing, that can continue to put up points.
easy, Steven.
All right, I gotta get into the Troy Terry talk here. It's good.
Yeah, someone's got an opinion over there. Yeah. But yeah, no, you know what? I kind of like that analogy. I feel like there's a triangle that you want every player to hit, and they've got to hit like those three things to be kind of considered, not necessarily fan favorite, but just somebody who, you know, you want on your team, and that is, you know, eye test on one side, analytics on another, and production. Yeah. So if you don't have all three of those sides, you don't have a really great triangle or something to build on. And it's always been,
you don't have a triangle. Yeah.
You're right. I mean, I broke it down. Ask your dog. I'm sure it's got an opinion on it. But I feel like if, you know, Troy Terry or whoever you want it to be, or even like Zegras, it's like you see the eye test and maybe the underlying numbers, but the analytics, but the numbers haven't hit yet, and so you're always kind of waiting for that. And so I feel like Troy Terry's kind of hit that, and we got a lot of guys that are really close to adding that third line to make a really great impact on the team. We're just almost there.
Yeah, and I mean, Zegras, Steven, you and I talked about this on the last episode, is you watch Zegras play and he's making an impact on a nightly basis, and the finish for either him or his line mates just wasn't there, so the points weren't coming. Well, we said, okay, eventually, like, this has to happen. Like, he's eventually going to put up points. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the week to do it. You've got some opponents that you could hopefully rack points up against, if you want to say, in Montreal tomorrow and Buffalo. And he ends up doing it. Now, he's got 4 points in 3 games heading into Montreal tomorrow. He's leading the Ducks this week. And outside of Terry, like, there's an argument that he could be the best player this week. You know, they've both been excellent, and with Rakell sidelined for that last game, you know, we talked about duos and Getzlaff and Terry and how they work, and Lindstrom and Silverberg. Now Zegras, I mean, he'll work with anybody, but it was with Rakell originally. Now you put him with Milano, and seems to be a fit. And like we said at the beginning of the show, the New York line, like the broadcast loves to say, just those two guys have just seemed to click, and I think it's the constant work ethic by Sonny Milano that just fits with the creativity and buzzsaw type play from Trevor Zegras that eventually they got paired together on a line in yesterday's game. And, you know, it just clicked, and it comes from that first game against Winnipeg where Zegras stole the puck and set up Milano for the goal, and then Milano sets up Zegras for the goal later on in the game to give the Ducks a 3-2 lead. And, you know, it's about time for Trevor Zegras, because he was due to get on the score sheet the way he was playing.
Overdue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you said, like, I think that there's just kind of a sense of urgency or an energy to the way that they both play, you know? I mean, we've just seen both of them being aggressive forecheckers, right? We've seen Trevor Zegras get in and, you know, he's trying to lift sticks and he's trying to go to the front of the net and stuff, and you know, he's doing all those little kind of signifiers that show you that the effort is there, the work rate is there. Like, he's trying to make things happen, and it's just been a bit of puck luck. And, like, you know, sure, like, there are a couple plays a game where he tries something that is a little overly complicated, but he's not afraid of the moment. And I think that's what's huge. And, like, you know, like, while you guys were talking, like, I was just looking up some stuff on Evolving Hockey, and, like, the one thing I wanted to mention, to their credit, Evolving Hockey, I'm pretty sure, had Troy Terry as a expected goals Selke finalist this year, if I remember that right, which I thought was very interesting, because I saw that and I was like, look, I like Troy Terry, but that feels very premature. And like,
ooh, not I don't know what that means.
Expected goals?
Well, Selke winner. Expected goals, Selke winner?
Oh, basically just like they, I don't know quite how they did it, but it was probably even strength defense and even strength offense. Just
okay. The top performer. So he does really well projected. On offense, but he also
yeah.
doesn't hurt you.
So they're just projecting yeah. across the entire season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And they did this before the season started. This was oh. their award projections going into the season. And this, you know, and I like I said, like I just think based on the fact there was only, what, 125 games or something like that of Troy Terry coming into this season to have that kind of projection for them, I think it was very interesting. But, like, you know, so I'm looking at the website right now, and, like, this is their best expected goals for per 60 output in the last 4 years by quite a bit. They're at 2.54. But... And a huge reason that we're seeing that, right, is just because of this influx of young offensive talent. On the other hand, this is also their worst expected goals against season at almost 3 goals a game in the last 4 years, which I think is pretty remarkable given how bad they've looked in the past. But it's also the result, again, of having those young offensive players inserted into the lineup. And, like, you know, we've gotten a couple games now where we've seen them go back and forth with some of these high-flying teams and some of these teams with much higher offensive thresholds than the Ducks have at this point in their players' developments. And, like, you know, if they lose games by a half a goal or something like that, right? Like, if it's a 2-5 to 2-9 kind of thing, like, that's a great spot to be in. There's a lot to be very positive about right now. And even if the results aren't there, like, you know, now the Ducks only have like a 0.33 win percentage or points percentage, and they're second from the bottom. The only team worse is the Kings in the division and that kind of stuff. Like, that's all kind of where we expected, and it was nice to be up in the top of the West for a game and a half or whatever it was.
Yeah.
These are the things that we wanted to see. Sorry, I'll let you go.
I'm on par with that too. Is like there's been clearly an increase in the Ducks' offensive production this year, and a lot of that is from Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras and the young guys, but it's other guys stepping up and kind of returning to form. Like, you look at Henrik. Surprisingly to me, when I looked at the numbers today, he had 7 points in 9 games. He's just been quietly chipping away and doing what he does best, and he's had
trade piece.
Yeah, right. Maybe. And the same for Silverberg. Like, we talked heavily about them in the offseason and how they shouldn't have been resigned. And that doesn't mean they, you know, it's still true that they probably shouldn't have. But it's nice to see those guys getting back to the levels that we expected from them when they signed those contracts. You know, Silverberg has a goal and 7 assists, 8 points in 9 games. And Henrik, like we said, 7 and 9. And you've got Milano now, who's looked excellent. He's got 3 and 4. And then Zegras and Terry are kind of stepping up as well. And even the defenseman, Fowler's got 5 points in 9 games, and he's looked pretty good. And then Lundestrom is, you know, another one of the young kids who's taken a step forward. Had a great start to the season. It's just kind of slowly continued to just pick up points. He's got 7 points in 9 games. Like, these are... This is why you've seen this resurgence for the Ducks offense, is you've got a lot of guys chipping in offensively, taking steps forward, and that's without Maxime Comtois getting going. Eventually he will. And, you know, if the rest of these players can keep up what they're doing and stay consistent, that's a pretty encouraging sign to see that, you know, we know Comtois is an incredibly skilled player. Everybody has a tough start, and, you know, for all these other guys to get off the mark and only one guy to start slow, that's a positive sign for the Ducks.
Well, he better start going, because he's on my fantasy team and he's really, really making me regret it right now. So he needs to get going. You know, this is one of the guys, too. We're just talking about him, so I'm just going to keep going with it. He kind of seems like that guy who's doing the opposite of what all the other kids are doing. And it's just like he's not quite there. He's not quite engaged nearly as much, and I feel like I think he's already been demoted to the fourth line in some games, and it just doesn't seem like the go for it is there.
There's no confidence.
I don't know what you guys think. Yeah, I guess, but it's just like just wanting to go and chase the puck down. Like, I feel like he's just like I'm pissed. I'm missing. I'm not doing well. I'm gonna hit this guy. Do that. I'm gonna hold on to the puck a little too long. I'm really kind of disappointed. Like, where Troy Terry's made that great step, I feel like Comtois has just kind of taken a giant step back, and I'm not sure what to do with him. What are your guys' thoughts?
Go ahead, Steve.
I, I mean, I think for me with Comtois, like, it really is just kind of a process over results kind of thing at this point. Like, I feel like when I watch him, you know, I feel like he's kind of in the areas of the ice that you kind of want to see him be, right? He's in the corners on the boards. He's in front of the net. But like you said, like, I think also at the same time, like, he is showing signs of frustration from some of that production not being there, because he started out last year just so clearly on a bender. Like, he was just going for it. And I think, you know, I think it's probably a good sign overall that he's frustrated with his lack of production and he's expecting things of himself. And, you know, the team is expecting things of him. But, like, I don't know. I feel like 15, 20 games, Mark, that's when maybe I'll start being a little nervous. But for now, like, he's going up and down the lineup. But last game, they played him with Milano and Zegras. So, like, yeah, man, if he can find a place, you know, with those two, like, that'll be – those two guys are the kind of players and playmakers that are going to allow him to get back into a groove. So I would certainly like to see him stay with them.
Yeah.
What was that, 0 points he has?
Yeah. He's the only player other than Grant who's played more than half of the Ducks games and has 0 points. Grant's played 6 and has
killing 5. My fantasy league.
It's a tough start for Comtois, and like you said, Steven, he's probably the first one to realize that or be disappointed in the way he's played and knows that he has to kind of get back to it. And he's really been the only guy that's just been shifted throughout the lineup or healthy scratch to just try and get him going. I think the Ducks are desperately trying anything to get him going at this point, and last night was kind of evident that he was put with Zegras and Milano the way they had played the two games prior, to say, okay, like, if anybody's going to get this guy going right now, it's playing with these two. I thought he looked better last night. Still didn't pick up a point, but I do think he looked better, and hopefully that builds some confidence. But I think, you know, the upcoming games here are going to be huge. I think for him, it's getting the monkey off the back. You know, more so a goal than an assist will get him going a little bit more, but he needs to get a point and get going and build that confidence back up, because it's really tough on a nightly basis. You know, one night you're playing with Getzlaff and Terry, the next night you're playing on the fourth line, and then the next game you're playing with Zegras and Milano, and, you know, the rest of these guys that are going, and credit to them obviously because they are putting up points, have kind of established either a line or a duo at this point that, you know, they built some chemistry there. And, you know, in what is kind of a crappy spot for Comtois is he had done that at the end of last season with Zegras and Terry, and that was not put together for some reason at the start of the year. And now it's been beneficial for Zegras, it's been beneficial for Terry, but Comtois kind of feels like the last man out there. He's been left out and hasn't really found that chemistry with anybody else. So hopefully it is with Zegras and Milano, but I only see that line lasting until Ricard Raquel comes back. And I would imagine the way Ricard Raquel has started, he probably gets put back with Trevor Zegras. And Milano, at this point, I don't, even for Comtois, I don't see how you take him off a line with Trevor Zegras the way he's been playing.
No, yeah. I'm with you. Like, I think putting Comtois with Getzlaff makes sense to me. You know, if they want to try him with Lundstrom, I think that makes sense. Like, I think at this point, you know, in the back of your head, like, you always just have throwing him on Zegras' wing in your back pocket, right? But I just think we've seen him be a producer and an offensive play driver on this team last year, right? So, like, I think it's more just about hoping he kind of finds his way again. But, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with playing him with, like, Lundstrom and Silverberg and seeing if he can kind of be the guy to generate a little bit more offense on that. Like, I love that line with Steele. You know, I think Steele provides a really nice kind of balance to those two as far as, like, the ability for all of them to kind of just play decent enough in all three zones. And, you know, last night, you know, I didn't get to watch the game live last night, but one of the things that I saw when I was trying to watch, you know, the replay of it this morning is, like, Max Jones had a play where he got into the zone on the left wing and then he just hit the brakes and waited. Sam Steele. Good lord.
I'm all over the place. I'm going to let him run with this.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Let's see where he goes.
Max Jones was the best player on the
ice. He caught himself. Yeah, yeah. He really didn't watch the game last
night. Yeah, jeez Louise. But Sam Steele had a play, and, like, I hadn't seen him make a play like that. You know, he crossed the line, he slammed on the brakes, and he just held the puck and looked around, and he kind of had his body between the center of the ice and the puck, and you know, it led to, I think somebody came down the wing just outside of him and he just kind of popped it off the boards. And, you know, it ended up kind of just being a race to the corner to get it. I don't think they did, but like there was patience there. There was purpose there. So like, I think Sam Steele on the wing looks like it's being, like it's going well. And if you have Sam Steele and Max Comtois and eventually Max Jones and Sonny Milano all kind of competing for three spots, like I think you're in a really good place. And so I think there's a lot to be excited about right now.
Yeah. Competition's always a good thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And my overall, I guess, question for, you know, you guys and then I guess everybody is just watching the Ducks play, especially, you know, your Buffalo game, down by three, come back to three, lose in overtime, down by three against Vegas, which we have, you know, usually no success, and then come back the way we did, at least get to a shootout, didn't quite go the way we wanted. You know, what is your thought about where the Ducks are versus where they were last year or the year before? Because, you know, then I'll give you my thought here before you make yours, is just I think it's a different look, and it's kind of that transition where the last 2 years has been like, here we go again, there's no hope, and it's just on to the goalies, and there's just, you know, it is what it is, and hopefully we squeak out one more goal. But now it's like we're down by a significant amount, but we're not done, you know, it's still there. And I even told Pat when he said in the Vegas game, we were down 4-1. He's like, this game over? And I told him it was over in the first when we got completely outshot. And then we all of a sudden came all the way back. I said, just like I planned. So I just, it's been amazing to see the Ducks actually be that resilient. And not even just the young kids doing it, just everybody kind of getting involved in it. What is your guys' feeling moving forward? Is this like what you guys are happy about? Or is this like it's, you know, the stats are the stats and we still suck?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, this is what we've been waiting for in terms of, you know, some visible progression from the Ducks. Like the last two seasons, like you said, like you get in a game like you did against Vegas and there's no chance that they're coming back, or no confidence that they're coming back. They might do it once or twice across the season, but that's it. It doesn't happen often. Like the tires get deflated. Nobody has any confidence. You can see they're visibly defeated out there, and that's it. The game's over, you know, end of the first or second period. But the times that they've gotten down this year, and we've seen it twice this week alone, like 3-0 to Buffalo and 4-1 to Vegas, to come back the way they did, and, you know, to show that effort and that fight and that confidence that they have the skill to be in these tight games against good teams. Like, you know, give all the credit to Buffalo the way they've started. They've looked good. I don't think it lasts, but they are a tough team to play the way they are playing right now. And the Ducks deserved points in that game and deserved points in the game against Vegas. And that's something I don't think I could have said much last year in games that they were able to get a one-goal lead. You'd say, okay, John Gibson deserves that point or Ryan Miller deserves that point. But the rest of the team, probably not so much. And it's usually a game last year you would have seen that they lost 2-1 or 3-2 because the goaltenders kept them in it. And not to say that John Gibson hasn't played bad, because he was excellent in that first period against Vegas the other night, and he's been excellent for most of the season. But there is a concerted effort from everybody, and I think that's the big thing and that I've noticed in that progression from some of these guys, that they look like a more confident team, and they're just a lot more fun to watch. And I hope it continues over the rest of the season, because we are only 8 games in, but it does look like there's some progress here.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Yeah, I don't mind losing those. Some of the games that we've lost, that's been nice. I mean, we've lost those games. They're like, damn, at least it was fun to watch. You know, it was an out of hand in the first, never coming back in the second, and then, hey, maybe we get a goal in the third. It's been a lot more entertaining to watch. Yeah. And fun hockey, right?
There are games, too, that like 2 or 3 years from now when other guys have continued to develop and progress and you've added more players to this team, those are winnable games. Those are games the Ducks will win. Down the road, Zegras has a couple more years of development. Terry, Comtois, Perreault comes in. Whoever we get at the beginning of this year or in this draft, Pastuyev comes in, Drysdale, right? Like all these guys, they start to come in and be a couple more years into the league and get some experience and further their development. These are, if they play this way, those are games they can win, and we don't even have to worry about the way the first period happened for Vegas. So that's what you can start to see. And we say this every year, but the light at the end of the tunnel comes a little bit closer every time you start to see this progression.
A little bit brighter, right? Yeah.
I mean, I think the other thing to remember here, right, is Vegas is expected to be one of the best teams in the league this year. Anaheim is expected to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. Vegas has significant injuries on their team right now, right? Like, they're missing Stone, they're missing Patches. Like, they have players out of the lineup right now, and that's important to note. But they still have a strong squad. They still have some depth. They're missing, they're missing the elite talent in the top six that really makes that team go. But, like, they've still got, Petrangelo. They've still got Theodore. I mean, Alec Martinez is a good player. Like, White Cloud seems like he's coming along real nice. Like, they've got horses, right? And what you saw last night was a young team go into Vegas on the second night of a back-to-back and just look out of their depth. And, like, yeah, like, that sounds about right to me. I mean, all things considered, I think, like, somebody said, like, it was almost two full goals saved above expected for Gibby last night after one period. Yeah. So it was an insane thing. But those games are going to happen every year. Whether you're a good team or a bad team, you're going to come out, you're going to lay an egg in the first, and then it's going to be about that resiliency.
But why is it always against Vegas?
It's tough barn to go into. It's a tough barn.
It's always going to be against Vegas.
Because they were all out, at clubs the night before, I'm sure.
That was it. Or they were playing a game the night before.
Yeah, they were goofing off. But, like, I just, there's a lot here that I think is exciting. And so to see them fight back and to take it to overtime and to get that point, like, to your point, Jay, like, that's not what you expected last year. Last year, that game 6-0 by the second. That's not a game that they're staying aggressive in. So,
Lehner just so many saves where he's like looking in his net. He's like, where's the puck? And it's like, oh, it's under me. I got it. All right. We're good. We're cool. I mean, there's so many opportunities where that could have been much closer game in the trailing end of that game, that second and third period.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to, try to finish watching it at some point this weekend. I really want to see how.
Oh, sorry. I ruined it. Lehner does a lot of that.
Who among us, every time I do that, it's usually I find my phone that way. It's like, where'd my phone go? Oh, it's right under.
Oh, right here. Huh. Right on my feet.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, to your question as far as, like, where am I at as far as what we're seeing, like, this is pretty much to the letter what I was hoping to see this year, which is just a young, talented team playing a little bit better than we expected and to just kind of be in some of these games. Like, I gotta be honest, like, even having not seen last night, the fact that it went to overtime is really encouraging.
Did you not see any of last night's game?
I saw the first 10 minutes of the 10th.
Oh, okay. So you
saw the bad. So I saw it like 14-1 in shots.
Yeah. God, I'm going to move on. Yeah. It was really good after that. You should probably like watch that because it was really good. So Steven's kind of happy about where we're at as a team. I'm happy, but kind of happy. And Ed's also kind of happy?
Yeah.
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 All right, we're all kind of happy.
Talk to me in 15 games, and if they're still playing this way, then I'll be a bit more optimistic. Static. But because
you're gonna be friends with you in 15 games, so
I got to see more. Like it's encouraging, but you know, 8 games is 1/10 of the season, right? So there's plenty of time.
I'm more happy with our losses this year than I have been last year. Like,
yeah,
this year like, the losses have been they sucked, and some have been like really deflating. But it's like. We weren't even in those games. Yeah.
You walk last away from year. The games with positives despite the loss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't bad. A couple of things I want to talk about with these games before we move on from them completely. Simon Benoit got his first NHL goal, which is pretty cool to see. I think he's looked good. And
he's been great.
Credit to Steven, too. Because he, at the beginning of the season, you said Benoit should be the guy who gets the sixth defenseman spot. And lo and behold, he gets called up and takes Mahura's spot and takes what was Jakob Larsson's spot. And. At this point, I don't see any reason for him not to be in the lineup, right? I think you know Josh Meyer didn't look bad, but I just like the steady presence that Benoit brings, and it helps
who's,
out Chad.
Who's that one guy we all yelled at that needed to leave?
Pattern?
Yeah.
Pattern.
So he needed to leave, and then they plugged in A, B, and C or whatever, and then Benoit comes in. I'm so happy. He's perfect, and he kind of makes up for how crappy Shattenkirk is defensively.
I mean that's exactly what you want. You know, like I asked John from who goes defend the nest. You know, he covers the goals, and like I asked him kind of where he was at with Benoit, and his point about Benoit was like he's like I think he can be a Beauchemin type player. And if he's 80% of Frankie, man, I'll be ecstatic.
I'm in. I'm all in.
That physicality and that defensiveness, like that defensive-minded presence, like is just so huge. And to be able to have that on the third pair as just like a steadying presence, I think it's huge. I just think it means so much to know that you have a guy at the bottom of your roster who can go out, not get caved in. He's going to be able to hold his own. You know, obviously he's young and he's still got a lot. He's got a lot to improve on, but if nothing else, he's got a good number. His number is 86, and you need to appreciate that. That's a very cool number.
I know. The fact that he's got more goals than Comtois already makes me kind of sad but kind of happy. You know, it's like, all right, he's got more goals. Let's keep this kid in.
Yeah, and I think he's the type of player that Shattenkirk needs to excel. I think mm-hmm. Shattenkirk's looked a lot better this year, that he's played down in the lineup and has been able to kind of play to his strengths a little bit more and not have to be a defensive anchor for this team and in the top four. Like Jay, you're right. He hasn't looked good defensively, and he never will. Like, that's just really not the style of play. But to put him with a guy like Benoit, I think will bode well for both of them throughout the season if they can stay together. They're always going to have their tough games. They get put out there against the opposition's best players on a tough change, and they're going to get hemmed in their own zone just because, you know, Shattenkirk has some deficiencies and Benoit still needs some more experience to really get up to speed at the NHL level. But it's a nice third pairing for the Ducks. Like, it's one I haven't looked at and been like, oh man, these guys? Like, that's how it's been for the last 3 or 4 years. You looked at that bottom pair and like, God, man, like this is
damn it, this
awful.
Is gonna kill us.
But
this is gonna be the reason we lose.
You've got three pairings you can get kind of excited about now with Lindholm and Drysdale and Fowler and Manson and Benoit and Shattenkirk. And even if it is Mahura with Shattenkirk, it's not that bad either. But I think there's some excitement around all three pairings now, and I hope Benoit sticks. And for Gru too, it's nice to see him get on the board and get his first NHL point, and it adds to the Comtois situation too, because Gru and Comtois would have been the only two players to play more than 7 or 8 games and not have a point. So Gru picked up his first NHL point and leaves Comtois in the dust as the only
everybody's ahead of Comtois. He's on my freaking fantasy team.
But I mean, you know, the thing with Benoit, right, is like you've seen him step into the role and the style of play that was who they were trying to get out of Shen, out of Dachshund
a few years ago. Wanted him to be a hitter. I mean, they need another hitter. They just can't keep relying on Manson to be that physical presence. So I felt like Benoit was perfect. Why they just kind of like demoted him and just say, oh, see if we can't get somebody to skate really well with Shattenkirk and prop his old ass up and, you know, put him in the crotch and that bullshit. But, you know, just somebody to go over and just, like, listen, murder that person, get them out of the net, whatever you can do, that's what I want you to do. Manson's kind of that guy, but, you know, he often gets injured, and, you know, we just need that third guy that's just going to hurt people. You know, not intentionally.
Yeah,
but just,
no, I got you.
You got to pay to get into that zone, and I think he does an amazing job of it, so I really like it.
He just makes lives difficult for the opposition, right?
Uh-huh. Exactly. We don't have that many defensemen that do that.
We don't, dude. I think me and Eddie talked about this last week. Like, they have to find these guys, man, because
if it's Manson until he's injured, and then there's no one.
Yeah.
Well, even that, just defensive guys, right? It's Manson and Lindholm, and, like, you know, Manson's defense has been a little shaky here and there, but he still managed to be physical. But, like,
manages to fight beyond... at the worst possible time.
Okay. I think he's earned it because Josh Manson is third on this team in expected offense or expected even strength offense. He's at 1.4 already expected goals above replacement for even strength offense. So all I'm saying is Josh Manson is a top six forward, and I'm glad people are listening.
Top six forward, yeah. We're all on board.
Yeah, power forward now. The other highlight from the last kind of individual efforts of this week were Ryan Getzlaff tied Tamil Solani for all-time points record in franchise history at 988.
Like, should have been a goal, not a secondary assist.
Could have got the goal last night, right?
So
and fits. Josh Manson decided to fight, and they would have passed him. But he's nearing. Well, he'll get that possibly tomorrow. He'll pass Tamir Solani, and within
it's gonna happen. Peeps.
Maybe before Christmas, if not a little bit after, he'll hit 1,000 points, and that should cement his
over under.
What before Christmas?
He hits 1,000 points before Christmas.
Oh man, I don't even know how many games we have before Christmas. I would say yeah. We probably have about 20 games before Christmas.
I mean, he's done pretty well, right? He's got like what, 5-6 assists. I mean, got one goal.
Give me a second. I'll check the ESPN schedule right now.
Okay, you do that.
Keep talking.
ESPN Plus.
A little plug.
I would say so, cuz he's what? Like if he hits that, so he's 12 points away from 1,000. Yep. And say as a multi, and we got like all of November, most of it. Yeah, he should hit that.
So he doesn't have a goal right now. He has 6 assists in 9 games.
6 assists. Yeah. He almost had a
goal. Yeah.
I would say, like, isn't that the most Getsy thing, though?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be super awesome if all
he gets 1,000 points,
all
he's got 18 assists,
and then his 1,000 points is a goal? That would be.
Yeah, that would be the most Gets thing to happen.
It's one goal and 17 assists to hit 1,000 points.
There you go. I love it. He gets an empty netter.
That would be even better. That would be great. Just walks it in with a second to go.
If that's his 1,000th point, it's the empty net goal.
It's good to see for Getzlaff, though.
All right, Steven, if you're talking, you are muted, so feel free to stop. Steven, you're muted. Can you hear us at all?
I'm counting. 26.
Oh, Jesus.
26 games to get 12 points? Yeah.
26 games before Christmas.
Yeah, I think he gets it.
Between tomorrow and the 23rd of December, there are 26 games. Yeah.
12 points in 26 games, I think, is
all
reasonable.
Of that being said.
No, it's just like one out of every two games.
If he doesn't get it until the first game after Christmas, then that means he breaks it on my birthday, and then I get to cry and be happy.
No one cares about your freaking birthday, dude.
I know no one cares, but I would be happy.
You're making it about you, and it should be about Getzlaff, but all right.
Do you think he retires after this year? If he's going to get 1,000 points, he's going to be the all-time franchise point leader. He doesn't really have anything left to accomplish with the Ducks. He's won a Stanley Cup. They're not going to win one this year. He's won pretty much everything he could ever win. You know, in the same sense of like Ovi will likely retire if and when he passes Gretzky.
He hits that, and I think he's probably one of those guys that's just like, hey, I had 1,000 points, I'm good. I did it all with one team. I got everything I wanted out of it, so I'm good. You know, that second and third wave is coming behind me pretty nice. It's been really good. So I would say this is probably his swan song.
Yeah.
But at the same thing, I really hope they don't trade him right at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
I would hope not.
I think it'll depend on how strong the team finishes, right? Like, if they trade him at the deadline, right? And he goes somewhere and he wins a cup, I think he retires. If he doesn't win a cup and he gets traded, then I think it's probably 50-50. If he stays and the team looks good, like, I could see him just being like, ah, let's do one more year of this and see what happens.
I just don't know what, like, personally, he won't have anything left to accomplish in the game. And, you know, if he wants to keep playing, then he'll keep playing, right? I just, I mean, like, you can see why he, you know, if he was close to hanging it up and he's like, okay, you know what, I just got to hit 1,000. I got to pass Tamu. Like, personally, for myself, I want to get those records. They're within reach. I can do it. You know, going into next season, there isn't like, okay, I can get this, I can get this, right? Like, he's done it all for the Ducks. And you know, I don't think he would ever sign somewhere else. Like, if the Ducks didn't want to re-sign him at the end of this year.
You know, I just realized what's going to happen.
What?
He's going to get traded to Tampa Bay, and he's going to play with Perry. And then Kucherov comes out of injury, and then they win a cup, and then he retires.
I would be fine with that.
Kind of makes me sad.
It does, but I don't hate
Tampa enough. Could you see Getzlaf in
another jersey? No.
In a Lightning uniform and go, yes. Like, where it doesn't make it kind of like it turns your stomach a little bit. Like,
that's the only place I'd want to see him go at this point, honestly, because him playing with Perry would just be fun. Like that.
Yes,
that
him, Perry, and Maroon.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the fourth line?
Yeah. Perry, Maroon, and Getzlaf.
Oh, my God. United, that is the slowest freaking line. No.
That would be the only place I'd be like, okay, you know what, it's fine. He can go play
then,
with Perry.
Like, all three of them are leading a rush, and then literally the defenseman pass them, and then like drop pass like Getzlaf to Getzlaf. I mean, that's be how slow those forwards would be if you have Maroon, Perry, and Getzlaf all trying to lead a rush together.
Did you just say that Getzlaf is going to have a drop pass to Getzlaf?
Yeah, and then he'll probably drop pass it to the other team like he does.
well, we'll see. He could hit it tomorrow. I hope he does. Montreal's turning a corner here, but I mean, they're still not a great team. No Carey Price. I imagine, especially the way Troy Terry's playing, like Getzlaf will pick up a secondary assist somewhere tomorrow night and pass Tamu, and then it's all about the.
Wes Mance is out there.
Yeah. Another fight will take the point off the board, right? So,
and Mance is like no.
Before we get into the prediction.
Here's a question for you real quick. Just about the... All
right, I'm going to win. All right, go ahead.
Ryan Getzlaf right now has 279 goals. Third place for Ducks career is Paul Kariya with 300. Do you think Getzy passes Kariya?
What is with Kariya and, like, oddly specific numbers? Yeah. 300 for the Ducks. 969 points in 969 games.
Oh,
like, what is that?
So he needs 21 goals to pass or to tie?
To tie Kariya. 21 goals.
If he plays next year?
He doesn't do it this season.
Yeah, not this year. No.
He'd have to play another season. And I'd even say probably have to do another one. I see Getzlaf, if he's lucky, he gets 10 this season.
Yeah.
And 8 or 9 the following season.
I can see him get 15 this year, especially on the power play.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, he's been in the position to score on the power play, and he hasn't done it because now he's the shooter.
No, I would say he doesn't surpass that.
He's
that's my guess.
Like he had, but other than last year, we had 5 and 48. He had 13 before, 14, 11, 15, 13. Like.
Ducks power play is better, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, right. But he's going to need 2 seasons at least to do it.
But he's gonna
and stay goals. Healthy. And he's going to have to play 70 right. or plus games in both of those. So,
here's a fun one, too. Jacob Silverberg has 137 goals. Bobby Ryan has 147. And Steve Ruchin has 153. And those are 6 and 5 with Silverberg in 8. Do you think this year... Silverberg can get to top 5 in goals.
How many does he need?
He's at 30. He needs 16
to break top 5. Yeah, I think he gets it. I mean, he's only got one right now, but
he ties Ruchin with 16 goals.
Yeah, it'll be close
this year. No, this year no.
He's gonna finish between 15 and 20. I think.
Jason doesn't think anybody's gonna score goals this year.
But it's so close, right? Like it's right in his like threshold of what you think he would score. 10 to 15.
I just don't see 16 or 17 or 18. I mean, maybe. But no, if you want my opinion, no, I think he's close. It's not like he's like, oh, no, he doesn't score any goals. It's just, do I think he'll get 16 or 17 goals? No. He's probably about 15.
It's so funny. In case anybody was curious, Hampus Lindholm's career plus minus is 69.
That'd be great for the team that gets him in the offseason.
The Islanders, if
or a trade deadline.
If he goes to the Islanders, we're getting Pat and Hampus Lindholm, New York Islanders jersey.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Dude. Love it.
It's happening.
Now, is he going to sign with the Islanders, or are we going to trade him and get Chara?
The deal is one for one.
5'5", straight Jamie up. Dreisdale next to 7'8". Zdeno Chara on the blue line.
He's like two Drysdale and it's barely.
You can stack Zegers on top of Drysdale and it's still short.
Halloween is writing itself right now.
My goodness.
All right, any other topics you guys want to hit on? I have a prospect I want to talk about, and then we're moving on to our weekly pick. So anything you guys thought we missed? Or
Everyone's kind of happy where the Ducks are. I mean, there's lulls in a game, and you know we kind of suck every now and again. But I'm actually okay with where we are. Like, I mean, we're not killing it. Like, that's always kind of the hope at one end of the spectrum, but we could just completely suck in the other. The other thing I thought that was kind of interesting was the Ducks' goaltending, which generally is the strongest in the beginning of the season, has been good, but hasn't been our biggest strength, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, it's been rocky, but I think the Ducks
it's really hard because of Vegas, and Vegas was obvious. Gibby was the only thing that was keeping us in for a little while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, it used to be like Gibby keeping us in for a while, and then you could just watch the frustration build on him, and then there was no support. And now there's just that support. So it's kind of like, oh, all right, we're kind of there. And then Bolzies has had his moments where it kind of hasn't gone quite right. And then the Winnipeg game where the last two goals didn't quite go Gibby's way. So it's kind of an oddball thing where all of a sudden we kind of changed a little bit, and now it's – we actually scored more goals, and we just wish the goaltending might keep up a little bit.
Yeah, I think the Ducks have sacrificed some of their team defense for offense this year, which is obviously going to be a detriment to the goaltenders. And I kind of saw that in the opening period against Vegas and in some other games this year too. Not the last game against Winnipeg, the one before that, the Ducks got outshot heavily in the first period too. It's going to happen. And Gibson and Stolarz can't stand on their heads forever. I mean, look at the way they started the season. Both of them, through their first couple of games, were just insane. And it's tough to keep that up, especially on a team that still isn't that good, despite, you know, how, I don't want to say impressive, but impressive compared to recent performances they've looked this year. It's still going to be a tough year for Gibson and Stolarz, but there'll be games where they stand on their head and the numbers reflect that, and there'll be games like Vegas where John Gibson plays amazing but the numbers don't really turn out that well because Vegas is a great team and they can beat you in a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
I mean, I think, you know, I don't know that they've necessarily sacrificed offense for defense, like, philosophically. I think it's much more just the result of, like I said earlier, just playing younger guys who are naturally more offensively inclined, you know? I mean, look, Lundestrom's done a good job at even defense for the most part, but like beyond that, the only guys you would say that really are going to be expected in the future to be defensive forwards are Grew, and you know, Steele I think can still be a good two-way player, but you know, Grew's just, he's just got so much to learn still, you know. I mean, he's played what, 8 or 9 games period, like, so you know, at this point, like, I'm not expecting much from him, and he looks like he's getting a little bit better step by step, and that's what's going to matter. But, you know, I don't know. I think there's going to be a point in, I don't know, maybe the end of December, beginning of January, where we're going to really hear Gibby's name or in the trade rumor, because I don't know how much longer he's just going to sit there and take 20 shots in a period.
I was sitting at the beginning of the Vegas game to my fiance. I was like, I don't think he's going to be here at the end of this year if this is how it's going to go. I just can't see him not, you know, asking for a trade out of here. Just like, you look at his comments at the beginning of the year, like, he's just like, I am sick of losing. Like, it, this is not fun. And I like, this season's not going to go much better. It's going to be more fun to, for us to watch because there's going to be more offense. For him, it's not going to be much better. And I could honestly see him at this point in his career, at the end of the year, just being like, listen, I want to trade me, find a spot for me. I can't do it.
I would disagree from a goalie's perspective in that I can understand his frustration. And if it was status quo, if it was the third season in a row where I have no run support, I have barely any defense, and I'm giving up a ton of, you know, goals, this, that, and the other way, I feel like he doesn't quite have that defensive support, but I think he can see the transition into a more offensive style. And I feel like when you see Cam Fowler going to the bottom of the corners, when the Shattenkirk's getting two goals any season, let alone just in the first handful of games, and then you got Drysdale scoring overtime goals. I mean, you got that. You can just kind of see the progression. I think where he got frustrated was the stagnant, where it was just like, it's another season with no progress. And now I feel like, once again, he sees the waves kind of happening. And I think he probably, this is just complete speculation, he's not as upset. Like, if this was the same MO that we saw in these first eight games as we saw the last two seasons, I completely understand him going like, I'm out. All right, this is not going anywhere. But this has gotten better. And if it gets better next year, I'm thinking he's willing to hang on for a little bit longer. So I just don't feel like he's, I just don't feel like he's as out as everyone, or at least you guys think he might be.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I mean, we'll have to see how things go at the end of the year. I don't think he gets moved during the regular season. Before we get into our picks here, I do want to just briefly mention Sasha Pastuyev with the Guelph Storm has been,
never heard of her,
absolutely on fire. He leads the OHL in scoring. He has 10 goals and 17 points in 9 games. He's got 2 hat tricks in those 9 games too. One of them last night.
Goodness.
We talked about him briefly Champ. At the beginning of the season because he made the interesting decision to not go back to the NCAA or not even go to the NCAA for Notre Dame. Chose to play in the OHL with Guelph, and obviously it's been clearly a good decision for him because he looks and is right now the best offensive player in the league, and he was one that was notably documented for falling to the third round to the Ducks because he couldn't skate. Well, clearly that doesn't matter because he can score goals and put up points. So another fun one on the way for the Ducks as we talk about guys like Zegras and Terry and Comtois. Another good one for the Ducks on the way. But let's move into our picks real quick, and then we'll wrap the show. The Ducks have Montreal tomorrow. All these games are at home. New Jersey on Tuesday, Arizona on Friday, and St. Louis on the following Sunday. We'll start with you, Jay. What are your picks for the Ducks this week?
I got to beat Montreal. We need a win. I think we've done enough to get there, and I feel like we're kind of there. We don't have any really back-to-back games. So I got Montreal, yes. New Jersey, that might be a tough one, but I feel like we can muster that one out. Arizona's also got their own problems. That could be here one way or the other, but I just can't see us losing to Arizona, and that's weird saying a 3-game win streak, but quite honestly, we're really close to a 2-game win streak if you count all those overtime things. St. Louis is another beast. I'm sure Bennington will start waving sticks at people, and that'll scare us, and we probably lose that fourth game. So I got us 3 in a row, lose to St. Louis. We're 3-1 at the end of that.
All right.
What about you, Ed?
Oh, okay. You want me to go? Okay, perfect. I think we beat Montreal tomorrow. They just got hammered 5-2 by the Kings today. And it's not going to be a fun one to go into Anaheim tomorrow with some rest for the Ducks. So I think that's a win for us. I do think we beat New Jersey on Tuesday. And that kind of strings us 2 wins in a row, a couple days rest. And the Arizona game is going to be tough. Arizona is always a tough team, weirdly, for the Ducks. Mm-hmm. Even with Duclair not there anymore when he was a Duck killer. And him and Domi when they were
Or Kemper.
There. Yeah, no Kemper. I don't even know who... I saw their starting goaltender the other day. His name's like Vedel Demka. I don't know how to say it.
Nailed
Never
it.
Never heard of that good guy job, in my life, and he started six games for the Coyotes. They're not a good team. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be close. I think the Ducks end up losing in overtime or a shootout in that one, and then they lose to St. Louis. So I have them at 2-1-1, same as Dalton in our chat here.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I have them at 3-1. I think they dropped the Jersey game, but I I think they win the other one. The thing with St. Louis, I think St. Louis will be the tough one. Like, St. Louis is second overall in power play percentage and penalty kill percentage, so I think that'll be tough. I think that's the game they're most likely to lose, but I also think there's a shot that they could win that just on hockey kind of, you know, nonsense. But I'll say they go...
Yeah, let me get a coin, we'll just flip it.
Win, loss, win, win. So I'll say they drop the Jersey game, but they beat Montreal, who, like you said, they're going to be on a back-to-back. They just got hammered. Like, I don't think they're going to have much in them right now. So I'll say 3-1, and I'll say the loss is to New Jersey.
All right. Well, we got the first game tomorrow, so we'll see how correct or how wrong we are pretty soon after this show goes up. Most of you will be listening to this likely tomorrow morning when it gets uploaded. Appreciate everybody who came out to the chat live, especially on a Saturday afternoon for most of you, or Saturday evening for any of you out there on the East Coast. So thanks for coming out, and thanks for everybody listening after the fact. We will be back next week, hopefully with Pat, for the four of us on the weekly show. And we have a Patreon Pucks and Brews that we're hoping to record early in this upcoming week as well. So again, thanks for everybody for coming out, and we will catch you next week. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks.